Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Callum Stoneman, and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly chance to find out what's new and what's going on in the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with us, you can send us an email or attach a voice note to your message to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K at rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, Jackie Brown is speaking with American Printing House about the Wing It app for the Monarch Braille display. Plus, following on from our conversation with the Land of Livia developers last week, Hubert has been giving the game a little try, so we'll hear a short demo of that as well. Hubert, Jackie and Natalie are joining me this week, as usual. Welcome in to all three of you. Hubert, what's anything caught your eye this week?
So it's something sneaky that I've missed, but I was using the passenger assistance app, as I do every day, to book my train for work, my assistance, and I was just casually swiping through the screen, and I saw this tab which says Ask PA. Which I kind of went, ooh, I've not seen this before. They've kept this quiet. No update description mentioned this. What is this? So I tapped it, and it basically took me to WhatsApp, and it's an AI chatbot that you can use from passenger assistance to ask it questions, which is in beta at the moment. So it's very kind of early days. And I thought, I'll take it for a spin. So far, one of the main tasks I've tried on this is asking it about different railway stations and kind of what accessible facilities it offers. So it will list you kind of, it says, this station offers step-free access, adjustable height ticket counters, lifts and things like that. So that's what I've done so far. But yeah, that's quite a new thing that I've not seen until I've accidentally stumbled on it.
So I don't seem to have this yet, but this is interesting. I have heard about this, and I wasn't sure if it was, I mean, all I knew up until now was that it's a tab on the screen and it throws you to WhatsApp. I couldn't tell if it was an AI service or an actual person you were talking to. So it is AI.
It is, yes. I mean, I wondered the same thing, so I'll give it a try. So it kind of isn't as intuitive in a sense that you'll ask it a question, then it will send you a message going, thinking through it, or something along these lines. Mm. And then it will send you another message once it has thought through what you asked with an actual answer. So a bit too many messages, if you ask me. But as I said, early days. It looks interesting. I think I'd be curious to see how far you can go with it. When you kind of ask it questions. I mean, I would like it ideally at its best to eventually be able to kind of recommend you routes, but, you know, that's...
Yeah.
I think we're far away from that yet. But the early signs look quite decent, because what I like to, and I haven't tried this yet, but what I'd like to be able to see with it is if I can check whether certain stations are staffed, because that sometimes might impact which stations and what journeys I book if a station isn't staffed, for example. Equally, I wonder if it will be able to, you know, tell me if there are replacement buses on certain routes without me kind of having to tap in all the details only to then find out, actually, there's a replacement bus service.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would like to see if it can tell you what platform a train departs on or arrives at, because I've noticed that's something that the... Because sometimes if I just need to quickly check train times, I'll use the passenger assistance app, not to book assistance necessarily, but just because it's a nice easy way of checking train times. But it doesn't tell you the platform, or at least it doesn't in my area. It might be different down south maybe, but that'd be kind of interesting.
I tend to use Trainline for that, which seems pretty decent at it. I mean, if there's a platform alteration, it may or may not be accurate sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just something you can't control, really. But Trainline I find really good for that, especially if you actually have a ticket on Trainline for a specific journey. It will keep you updated on that journey, which I find pretty handy.
The app I actually use for that is Cross Country. And it used to be called Train Tickets, but it suddenly updated to Cross Country one day, and I'm assuming they bought it. But I was chatting to a couple of friends about this exact thing of knowing the platform they're coming into, because one of my friends got very disorientated one day, so he didn't know where he was. And I think they use the first ScotRail app, which is obviously just for people up in Scotland, because it covers all of those services. But yeah, I use Cross Country for train times and platforms. I don't ever buy my ticket on there because we also get free travel in Scotland, so I don't need to. But it is really useful. And like you say, obviously, last minute platform changes can be a bit of a problem. But equally, it's pretty hot on that too. Because I've had it before where I've gone up to a platform and say it's platform 9, and somebody said, "Oh, where are you going?" And I'm like, "Whatever train it is, it's apparently on platform 9." They've checked their thing and said, "No, it's over on platform 4." I was like, "Okay." We started walking halfway to platform 4, and then they checked again, like, "No, you're right, it's platform 9." And me plus all the other passengers who were at platform 4 went back to platform 9.
Yeah, had that sort of thing many times. Well, I'll definitely be giving that a try when I eventually get my hands on it. I assume it's been a kind of phased rollout, or whether I've not got the update or not. But yeah, I'll keep an eye on that. Natalie, anything else new with you this week?
Yeah, kind of two small things I want to mention. So I actually finally had a go at ChatGPT this week, and I know this has been going on for ages, but for whatever reason, I've just not got around to doing it. So this week I have. And I tried both the app and the website version. And I have to say the app was good, but maybe I need to get a bit more practice in with it. But I found it kind of gave too much information, and it was all covered in stars and underlines and dots. And I don't know if it's because it's lifting a lot from web pages, the particular search I did. So it was useful, but there's a lot there, and scrolling didn't seem to be all that effective. So kind of mixed results on that one. But the online one I found was pretty good. It took me a minute to work out where all the information was, because it added in different headings and things. But yeah, I thought it was good, and it could be really useful, particularly at work, which is the trial I was doing. Although weirdly, that was the thing I was going to mention, weirdly, it didn't include pictures, even though I specifically asked it to include pictures, and it told me I have now updated the result with pictures. It still hadn't included pictures. So I don't know if that was just the version I'm on, or that we're allowed at work, but yeah, pictures was not a thing. And the other thing I was going to mention is I finally tried out my new air fryer. So I've been thinking about getting an air fryer for ages, and I wasn't sure if it was worth it. Should I do it? Would I ever use it? And then the decision was taken out of my hands when a friend got me one for my birthday. So I used it this week, and I have to say it really could not have been much easier. So there's two dials on it. Well, first of all, I should say I was surprised by the shape of it. It's kind of cylindrical, but like, I don't know, a coffee machine or my slush puppy machine, revealing where my loyalties lie here. But it has two dials and then a drawer. So the first dial is time, the second dial is temperature, and the bottom thing, well, like I say, is a drawer, and you literally just pull it in and out. And my youngest brother actually very kindly helped me put bump-ons on the dial, which I wouldn't have bothered doing. I would have just done what I do with the oven, which is spin it until I think it feels about right. But on the timer, it's quite good because you can hear it clicking. So, well, as once you set it, you'll hear it clicking, so you know it's clicking down. And on the temperature, you can feel a bit of resistance until you hit 80 degrees, and then it suddenly listens off, and then it goes up to a maximum of 200. And the way it works quite simply is you put what you want in the drawer, close the drawer, set the temperature, and as soon as you set the time and let it go, it starts cooking, and then it just stops when time's up. It's as simple as that.
I love the air fryer for cooking. It's
Yeah.
so good.
It's the best thing ever. I use mine all the time, and I can't imagine life without it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very impressed because I actually I've been told this, but I didn't quite believe it. I had a piece of fish and some frozen green beans, and I'd been assured by Alexa and other AI devices that I could do it this way, but I didn't quite trust it. So yeah, I put the fish that was, like I say, not frozen,
Yeah.
and then the green beans that were frozen in together for, I think it was like 10 minutes. And they came out great. And what seemed better is the green beans weren't soggy. I have an inability, apparently, to get green beans out in time before they start becoming mushy. So if anybody's interested in that one I've just mentioned, it was the Midea compact 2 liter air fryer. So Midea is spelled MIDEA, compact 2 liter air fryer.
Yeah, nice. There is a talking one from Cobalt as well, which I think is still available.
Yeah, you've got one drawer version and a two drawer version.
Oh, is there a double one now as well?
Yeah, I've got a two drawer version of it, which is
Ah.
fantastic.
We've got a Ninja air fryer, and yeah, I've done the similar thing, put bump-ons on and stuff, and it's one of them where it's accessible. Well, no, it's not very accessible, to be honest. It's accessible once you know how to use it, but it took some figuring out, and I always put it on and set a timer. I set the timer on the air fryer, which is a kind of digital timer, so you don't get any clicks or anything. But I just set a timer on my phone as well. But the downside to that is that if my phone goes off and the air fryer stops at the same time, then I know I've got the settings right. If it doesn't, if one goes off kind of before the other, then I know I've done something wrong. But by that point, I'm very conscious that it might be too late. So, every time so far, I've got it right, but there's going to be a time where I get something wrong.
I think that's why I got the talking one, because it just gives you that bit of reassurance at least, and a bit more
Yeah.
control. Because yeah, I've made inaccessible air fryers more accessible with bump-ons, but I think having that talking feature there just gives you that extra bit of reassurance, really, and makes life that little bit easier.
Like I say, I didn't even bother putting bump-ons on my oven. I'm a great believer just twiddling the dial and hoping for the best.
Just guess.
So, well, with cooking, there's a lot of wriggle room in cooking. If I was a baker, it might be different because you need to be really precise in baking. But yeah, and you get the hang of these things. So the fact, like I say, that it was two dials, I can feel roughly where it's pointing. That looks right, roughly where I want it to be. My youngest brother, like I say, was very sweet and got a load of bump-ons out and started sticking them on for me. And I was like, bless you, didn't need to do that, but thank you. Yeah, it's worked for me, and I thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, guessing used to be my method with the oven as well, when I was in uni. 200 degrees, 20 minutes, you'll probably be all right. Not official advice, though, I should say. Jackie,
Yes.
How are you, anything new with you this week? Are you still winging it?
I went to an Apple event this week. A colleague from work had, we've got quite a good relationship going with the Apple store in Belfast. So I was at an event this week where customers were invited, if they wanted to meet at the Apple store. And there's a lovely gentleman there called Andy who takes you through all the different accessibility features. Now, it's not lessons as such, it's not training, it's like an overview of accessibility features. And at this event, it was a lot of it was to do with visuals. So he was showing people how to adjust the color, the font, the text, and use the magnifier. It was really good though. From a blindness perspective, I found it really interesting just to go along and listen and just support the group. But one of the things I did notice when I was at the Apple store, and I've thought this before, I think it is worth mentioning, is that they are so, well, they certainly are in Belfast anyway, very clued in to accessibility and just the whole operation in there. We sat at a table kind of at the back of the shop. Andy had a microphone so everybody could hear him. Not the whole shop, but the round the table. And he was going around showing people how to change different things in accessibility. And he had a colleague with him. And I just thought how slick their operation is. I mean, even if you go in there and you buy something, by the packaging, it's all very branded, very slick. But I have to say, to be fair to them, that they are they're very at the forefront with accessibility. Certainly in that store, they are clued in. You could ask questions, and Andy certainly seemed to know. And I just was really quite impressed with that. And we are going to continue to go back for more accessibility topics such as, well, we're going to have one on voiceover in the future. And I think a lot of people are interested in Siri as well. So it's just about getting the best out of your Apple device. And I just found the whole thing very well organized, very slick, and very professional. They definitely, like, if you go into a shop, you might know this yourselves and experience this. I'm sure our listeners have, where you could go into Currys or Argos or any shop if you want to buy a piece of tech, and they are just not clued up a lot of the time to what it is you're asking. For instance, accessible TVs or something like that. It takes them a while to catch on, or it takes them a while to go and find somebody that knows. But it's not like that in an Apple store. Immediately you open your mouth and say, what's the accessibility on this, or how can I do that? Because I'm a screen reader user, or I'm a magnification user. They know it, they've got it. And yes, they should know, because it's all they sell is their own stuff. But I still can't help being quite impressed with their slick operation. Just wondered what anybody else thought of that.
I have to say, the Glasgow office is similar to that, Jackie. I've not been to an event exactly like that, but I can vouch for the fact that if you go in there with a question, any of them can help you and can help you, yes, sorry, to the level that you're looking for. And I tend to find that they're very friendly. And I think the last time I went in there with an issue, nothing to do with accessibility, I think my phone just wasn't working. And not only did they help me fix the issue, but I said, whilst I'm here, any chance I could try on one of your VR headset things? And they let me have a bit of a play with it, which was good fun. But what I was going to say is, I also discovered, I think it was on that trip, that on a Friday, I think it is, it might be different days in different offices and they might not all do it, but on a Friday they said they run basically an accessibility workshop thing where you can drop in at any time, which you can do anyway. But I think this one is specifically for Mac, or it was just specifically Mac that I was interested in. But I did say to him, like, look, so if I bring in my Mac one day, don't book an appointment, just rock up and say, look, can somebody show me how to do this? They're like, yeah,
That is
absolutely.
incredible.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah, I've been into the Glasgow store as well, when I've been in Scotland visiting family, and I've been in there, and I find equally that they're very knowledgeable about their products, and they should be. So I'm not sort of overdoing the praise in that sense, because it is all they sell is their own products. They're not having to deal with other brands, other lines, other than perhaps some accessories that they sell from other companies like Belkin or the Beats, whatever. But they are very clued up on their stuff, and they are incredibly helpful as well. If you want something set up, if you buy it, they say to you there and then, would you like somebody to help you to set that up? Which I think it just makes it all the nicer, the experience of going into the store to buy something when people go out of their way for you, and the fact that they acknowledge the accessibility, that that is what you're there for, to get help with that. I just can't help being impressed and pleased that, from an Apple perspective, that's what they do. It's default mode for them. Whereas, as I say, if you go into a lot of other shops, and you're looking for a piece of tech, you just would not get that level.
No, Apple have got that nailed. I was so impressed. I went in to an Apple store, I think it was the one in Leeds, a couple of years ago, because I was having a bit of an issue, which turned out to be a hardware issue. But I went in and explained, and I said, the sound keeps kind of distorting a little bit on this phone. And he said, the first thing that he said, because obviously he'd seen my cane, so first thing that he said is, right, okay, so are you using VoiceOver? And I just thought, wow, you're asking me? That's a
I
change.
know.
Really impressive with Apple. I've never experienced that. Always the other times it's like, oh, I'm using VoiceOver, or I'm using a screen reader. What's that? Well, a quick one from me. Well, a couple of quick things actually. So there's been cons some concern recently over WhatsApp. There was a bug introduced, I think this was last week or a couple of weeks ago, where when you're recording a voice message, if you did the double tap and hold to swipe up to then if you did the double tap and hold and then swipe up gesture to lock the recording, you couldn't then, VoiceOver couldn't get to the send button. So there was the usual buttons at the bottom for like send, pause, and cancel and stuff, but they were just completely invisible to VoiceOver. So you had no way of sending the message or basically just getting out of that recording without either turning VoiceOver off and just tapping around the bottom of the screen and hoping for the best. Or you could sometimes get around it using screen recognition, but as we know, screen recognition's a bit hit and miss. That has now been fixed. So there was an update released yesterday, and we're recording this a couple of days in advance. So if you've not got automatic updates turned on, then check your app store because that should be there should be an update available, and that should now be fixed, which is brilliant. But also something I discovered is you don't have to do the double tap, hold, and then swipe up anymore. You can just do a one finger double tap on the voice message button. That will lock the recording for you, and then you just double tap on send or pause or cancel or whatever you want to do when you're done.
Have I been doing voice messages wrong all this time? Because the way I do it is double tap and hold, and then when I for the length of the recording, then when I'm done, lift my finger off and it goes.
That's the way I've always done it as well.
Okay.
So I actually didn't know, I completely didn't notice this bug until I saw it on social media.
Right,
So
okay.
my problem is, if I lock the recording, I will end up sending, I'll basically send someone a podcast rather than a voice message because I'll just keep going.
Oh, I do that anyway, but the only giveaway is my thumb gets
Yeah.
tired.
When my finger starts hurting, I know that, right, okay, I've gone on too long now. I'm sure that won't be a surprise to anyone. Okay, well, cheers, guys. Another interesting week coming up, as always. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk.
With me today for Tech Talk, I'm really delighted to welcome Jason Martin from APH. Hi, Jason. Thank you so much for coming on to the program to talk to us about this wonderful app that has been developed to work with the Monarch called Wing It. So I will let you tell everybody what it is, what it does, and I'm very excited about this, so I promise I'll try and keep quiet.
I love to hear the excitement. And when building something like Wingit, you don't know how users are going to respond to it. You don't know what did we get right? What did we do wrong? And what's been so incredible in Wingit launched about 2 weeks ago. And what's just incredible about this is just seeing user feedback and user stories and hearing the world begin to play with something me and my team have been working on for so long in a bubble. And so it is kind of like magic in that sense. So what Wingit is, as the name suggests, it is not a replacement for traditional tactographics. But what it is an application on the Monarch itself called Wingit M. We're very classy with our names, but Wingit M for Monarch on that side. And then there is in iOS, or the App Store, you can find the Monarch Wingit app. And that is a free app to download. Anyone can grab it. You don't have to have a Monarch. But when you have this application, it allows you to do just drafting and tactographics in real time on the Monarch. And what that effectively means is I love playing this game when I introduce Wingit to anyone, and I'll draw a circle and it'll just appear on the screen. And then with Wingit, you can just move it. And so the idea of moving a circle in a tactographic in real time really is bonkers. It doesn't, like, it's not something we do. And just playing a game with adults or students, really of all ages, I played Where's the Circle? By just moving it and having someone scan the image of just a basic circle. And with Wingit, that's really the core idea, is to be able to generate this tactographic in real time. And while the Monarch is a device with cost, something like Wingit, I estimate, just for instance, if you were to add a cost of $4 to every tactographic you draw or touch, with Wingit, it exponentially starts to become a cost-saving device because you can draw infinite amount of tactographics.
Yes, you don't need to go away if you're a teacher in a classroom, and your student has a Monarch, And if they pair the Monarch with Wingit and you start using the app, you can just draw something for the student and immediately it comes up on the surface of the Monarch so that you can actually feel the representation in Braille of the drawing that you've just made. So it's instant, it's immediate. And this is the thing that I think is just so fantastic about it, is I'm very fortunate enough to have invested in a Monarch of my own. And there's no question there is a cost involved. It's a lot of money and nobody's disputing that. But if you are really interested in graphics and multi-line Braille and the immediacy of what this device can do, then for me, it's been worth the investment, because when I found out about Wingit, I was so excited to try it. And I simply downloaded the Wingit app, as you say, Jason, from the App Store. And then I paired it with my Monarch. So you just go into the app and you pair it very easily. There's no messing around. It's Bluetooth, but it's done very efficiently and very quickly. And you just give the permissions to your device that you allow the thing to be connected via Bluetooth. And once you've done that, there's no even an account or anything like that to set up. You just do it. And then in the Wingit app, there is a canvas, and there are lots of other tools that you can use as well. So if you choose canvas, for example, I was able to just draw, just like you, a circle or a rectangle, right, or anything you want, anything that comes to your mind. But what blew my mind completely was the fact that I was doing that with my finger on the on my phone, on the screen of my phone, which I turned into landscape mode. And then it came up on the Monarch surface, and all my squiggly lines and angles and anything I was doing came up. It is absolutely, well, as I say, it blew my mind. And I just think it is so incredible, because I had, you know, heard about Apple Pencil and various styluses that you can buy if you're a sighted person to use with your devices. But I never thought in a million years that we'd ever get to the stage that you could actually draw with your finger or something on your phone, and then it actually comes up on another surface. I kind of hoped one day that maybe Apple would come up with something where your phone screen would become tactile. But of course, that's kind of dreamland stuff. But this Wingit app is just it's really special. And I can't help being really enthusiastic about it, because it opens the door. You might say, well, why would you want to just mess around on your phone screen if you can't see? But in a way, you can, because you're getting the representation of what you're drawing on the Monarch. And it's so immediate for teachers. You know, if they say in a class, in a geometry class, for example, I'm going to hand out a isosceles triangle, what it looks like, or a scalene triangle. And a blind student is sitting there and saying, excuse me, but what is an isosceles triangle? So the teacher can just walk up to the student with their iPad or their iPhone, draw with their finger on the screen, and then say, this is immediate. This is what an isosceles triangle is on the Monarch. And yes, okay, you've got to have the Monarch in a way to be able to make the most of this app. But it means that the teacher doesn't have to go away trying to get documents embossed or diagrams embossed, bring them back to the student. Of course, the lesson's well and truly over by then. And this is the thing about Wingit, is that it is so immediate. And that's what personally I love about it.
That was important for the team in a design decision. Like, there were several iterations of Wingit where it worked in more of a send receive type message. And it's the immediacy that keeps kind of fingers engaged. And with your example of an isosceles triangle, for instance, maybe you draw it that's not perfect. In the world that we have previously been living in education, well, if I printed this isosceles triangle, it's an act of quite significant to change that typographic in real time. But in Wingit, if I don't like it, I just hit clear and draw it again. Or
exactly.
And you mentioned using the Apple Pencil in some of these other devices like stencils. One use case I've seen is that users are laying over like just a common stencil over the screen and following it. And those, it's just, it can be used in so many different ways. And that's what's really encouraging. So you can actually Braille label on the Monarch
side you can.
Of Wingit. And one of the main design decisions that really brought that about was if you're drawing a campus map, and that's something I love to do, a campus map, a city map, or even an office building, just any type of map, the canvas on Wingit is not limited to just those 10 lines of Braille or the main array. It's really infinite. And there is a certain amount of space, right? Once you, maybe if you drew an entire city, I think there are limitations within the app, of course. But in terms of what we've been using for tactile graphics and space, it is limitless. There is no 8 or 11 by 14 parameter that we have to do with a tactile graphic now. And again, this isn't a replacement for traditional tactile graphics, but it is a way to be able to show and convey information with, there are 5 textures in Wingit. There are more shapes than I can even tell you. It's like 7 or 8 if I just don't know the number off the top of my head. And those can be combined to make even more interesting polygonal shapes. It's still in 2D. But you can combine, say, a circle and a star to get a pineapple.
It really is. It's, as you say, it is limitless to what you can actually do. As a matter of interest, would you recommend the user have something like an iPad rather than maybe a smaller screen of a phone? Does that give you more surface area, would you say?
It makes it a bit easier to draw, but what's nice about it is Wingit's approachable on both platforms. And so like with iOS on the iPhone or the iPad, it's VoiceOver accessible. And we, a member of my team, Mr. Joe Hodge, really worked tirelessly on making sure that this app was accessible to those who are blind to be able to draw. So I would say it's really on what's available to you. We do have, with the method of Bluetooth, just full disclosure, we do have some models of iPad that are having difficulties connecting with the way we're doing it. And it could just be a new chip or update, but it is something the team's investigating. There are some considerations, but so it's really up to you on which you would like to choose.
And can you use something like if you bought an Apple Pencil, for example, or a stylus, can you use those in conjunction with Wingit?
So you can, but it's different. So you're using an Apple stylus with VoiceOver if you are using it as a VoiceOver user, right?
Yeah,
so like that pencil is going to have somewhat of a different action, more along the lines of a finger to start engaging than it would just be touch and draw. So if you turn VoiceOver off, it's going to just work as a traditional Apple Pencil, but working with VoiceOver, it's tricky. But it does indeed work. And I think as we move further along in Wingit updates, it's looking at those user flows and user cases to say, hey, how can we make this an easier experience? Can we just turn on pencil mode in VoiceOver? And that's an option. So I think that's user feedback we're hearing. One at the National Federation of the Blind last 2 weeks ago where we launched this app, one big use case, and I just think this was so cool to see users asking for this, was they were coming up and they said, hey, can I use Wingit to sign my name?
Yes.
I have never really felt my signature. I don't know what my signature looks like. I'd like to practice it. And it was one of the more popular activities that was not in my bingo card for that week of use cases, that was very much an immediate use case to go, hey. And then the question was asked, could we take this same signature and make it an official signature through something
a digital
like
signature. Yeah.
Right. And it's really just seeing it out in the wild and now starting to explore those use cases, these additional ones that we didn't foresee is I think where the fun times start.
Yeah. What about Android, though? Because the Monarch itself is layered, obviously. It's built on Android, a version of Android. So what is the thinking about maybe the future with Wingit? Would it be possible to put it on Android for those users who have Android devices?
So we started actually with the Android ecosystem to do this app. And really with the initial design, we did a research survey to say, in school systems here, what are the most common devices that are being accessed or using for access? And we focused prioritization to iOS because it was by far the more popular device and adoption. And it just made sense to use it. I think there were some benefits of iOS with accessibility as well. It's not to say that, and it's not an either or there. It's just there was a very easier development path, or stronger, I would say, accessibility tools we had access when creating this drawing, accessible drawing experience, really. And so with Android, I'm not limiting the possibility in the future. However, I think with certain development paths with Android, it's really, is this the optimal route for development, or is there another means of development, per se, like a use case that we've been asked many times about, and it's something to conceptualize now, is, well, how do you do this for a teacher that's already drawing on a smart board? How can we convey this over with an app or an extension that is more integrated, say, into a Windows user interface or something someone's already displaying? So the idea is there, but I don't know that future Android development will be in the cards, but if there are a ton of users that absolutely are demanding it, I think we'll listen to that.
And we'll be hearing more from Jackie and APH a little bit later.
It's time once again on RNIB Tech Talk to explore the great timeline of technology and find out how our guest today has explored technology from the past to the present and get their thoughts on the future as well. Joining me today to discuss his technology journey is Gats Sandro Fuertes Osorio. Gats, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and happy to share all my experience.
So let's talk assistive technology then. What was the first piece of assistive technology that you remember using?
When I was a child, because of my low vision, I had different magnifiers, physical magnifiers, like inspectors, like a round with a handle. So they were very nice at that point. I really enjoy it, just them.
What would you say is your favorite piece of assistive technology? I mean, this could be past, present, you know. What would you say you'd have as your favorite?
My video magnifier, because nowadays you can change the colors. In my case, I prefer the black background and white font color. The size is like a tablet, and it has embedded AI to convert the images to text and read for me.
Now let's talk about reviving technology then. You know, we've all used plenty of great kind of old school technologies, and now, you know, things have changed, different technologies making the difference. What technology would you like to see revived?
I can say the physical magnifier, because nowadays we trust a lot on devices with batteries. However, you know, physical magnifiers don't depend on batteries and also are waterproofed, especially when you are in an office and, you know, some people tend to carry water or cup of coffee or whatever drink. So, yeah, it's important to be waterproof.
Let's move on to the future of technology then, because that's the interesting part. I mean, you can let your imagination run free here. What would you like to see technology do in the future? What would be kind of your ultimate technology dream that you'd like to see come true?
I would like to have like the kind of smart glasses which are able to detect things in front of me, and also have the capability to guide me, no matter if it's during the day or during the night, because sometimes cameras tend to struggle when it's dark. I'm obviously connected to internet in order to get me feedback about location, places close to myself, and even public transport.
Now, a bit of a side question, you know, we've seen something like the Meta glasses with the Meta Ray-Bans and, you know, other things do something similar. You know, have you used any smart glasses up to this point?
I tried it in a specific event, the Google glasses, but at that point they weren't properly good, I can say. In terms of the Meta Ray-Ban, I think they are not enough prepared to be used nowadays, especially with regards many restrictions. In the UK, for example, obviously, I think in the future, this kind of device need to be well-programmed and embedded to the operating system, because if it's only an app like the Meta Ray-Ban, there will be many restrictions internally, specifically talking about connections and manipulation of GPS and things like that. So I would prefer something developed by Google or Apple.
Fantastic. Well, we shall see what happens and how that sort of trend develops. Smart glasses seems to be the big fashionable trend, so we will be curious to see how it goes and what's new. But for now, Gats Sandro Fuerte Sosorio, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Tech Talk.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Let's head back now to Jackie's conversation with American Printing House about the Wing It app for the Monarch.
And what about the future of Wing It in terms of, can I tease anything out of you in regard to updates? Is there anything in the pipeline that you have on the drawing board at the moment that you can tell us about?
Yeah, I do believe. What's interesting is you're never done.
No.
With an app like this. And I've been with the American Printing House now for 2 years, and I've been with Wing It for 2 years. And so seeing where we are now is, to me, I do truly feel like it's a transformative app in just what we're doing. But is it perfect? No. And the idea of importing images, bringing in something that's existing, and just being able to update it and draft it on the fly. I saw it was a graphic for a t-shirt that had some steganographic images at a cybersecurity camp for blind students. And this graphic, while they had the information, they didn't actually have the graphic. So bringing it into a program like Wing It, where it's the print graphic and it's a print representation. So for instance, this had binary, ones and zeros appeared as numbers, ones and zeros, but an instructor could very easily use Wing It to put a braille label to the side of this tactile or of this graphic and make it understandable for an individual using braille or using the Monarch. So the idea of importing images and bringing in other examples of images is of great priority. Bluetooth connection is also just stability is one of our biggest concerns and updates, or priorities, I would say. One of the development processes in Wing It was ensuring that Bluetooth connectivity was seamless, that you didn't have to go through a wireless network to connect, that a lot of our school systems definitely have struggles connecting through these systems. So that's absolutely a priority. So you will see some changes to Bluetooth connectivity as we're developing better software for the Monarch in general. The other apps really benefit from that.
Yeah, it's very exciting times. I mean, I read somewhere that I think there's going to be a periodic table developed for the monarch, or that's kind of in the pipeline, and that in itself is really, you know, for students, you know, I mean, a lot of kind of your home user might think, well, why would you want a periodic table? But, you know, those who are working with chemistry, science, all those subjects, you know, they maybe do need it, and it is important. So, you know, there is a lot happening, bearing in mind that the monarch is geared more towards education, and it's, you know, Wingit is just one of these apps that it just seems to work. I mean, for me anyway, it just seems to work. I cannot describe how blown away by the app that I was when I started to just draw on it, and, you know, like had a visualization of drawing a house. I mean, of course, my drawings are going to be crooked because I have no sight at all.
Right.
So, you know, when I try to do like a square, it might go squiggly, or it just might be misaligned. But I mean, who cares? It's the fun that you can have in just creating something of your own and actually feeling that representation once you've done it. And if you have, you know, grandchildren, as I do, you know, the idea of them drawing something and saying, right, Gran, what's this? It puts a whole new slant on the word accessibility for me.
Right.
So I really do look forward to development of Wingit, and of course of Monarch in the future. And I just want to really congratulate you and all those who are working with you to bring such an innovation to, you know, to accessibility and to Apple products, and of course the Monarch.
Thank you. You really hit something there with your grandchildren. And
yeah.
My father is blind, and my children draw images for him with Wingit. They absolutely do. And it's interesting that you say that. Yeah. I think that's one of the joys of it. And we did build it for education, and there are so many applications for independent living, for orientation and mobility. But the one I love is that it's that social connection that you can do with Wingit. If there's a strange bird that flies by and you go, what is that thing? Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't quite describe it. You can sketch that.
Yeah. Recently, you know, I'm a big tennis fan, and yes. I was talking with my husband, who's also blind, and we were talking about Wimbledon and what it looks like. And of course, in the Monarch tactile graphics and image library, there is a tennis court, there is a tennis ball, and there is a tennis racket that you can download. But unless you've actually been, or somebody has walked you around the court and explained all the apparatus, you know, the net, where it's positioned, and how you actually move the ball and what you do with the racket, it's not quite the same until you actually experience that. But I feel that, you know, Wingit goes some way into just sketching something, as you say, gives an outline. You're not getting the true thing because it's not 3D, but it gives such a really interesting representation. And I've never been so interested in my life in tactile graphics and drawing until recently, because I just love the idea of being able to share with children and young people that I work with, those in schools as well. So it's really interesting to get their perspective on what they like to draw, what they want to imagine. Yes. And it is really, it is only limited to your imagination, I think, Wingit.
And I've got to ask you, the ability to zoom in and out of the image and Braille maintaining its same size.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
I just think it just adds to it, because for people that haven't seen a Monarch, there are zoom in and zoom out controls. So if you get an image on the surface of the Monarch, you then can zoom in or zoom out and stretch it. You can make it bigger. You can, if you want to examine something in more detail, you can kind of stretch it so you can feel a little bit more of the detail in an image. And I think that's what's really interesting about wing it as well as being able to expand, if you like, that representation that you've, even if it's just a lot of lines and squiggles, it's just the ability to be able to do that with it is also incredible.
This just fills me with joy to hear your response to Wing It. And again, it's the idea of being creative, of creating an application that's able to build things or to create other experiences, and users creating their own experiences is something I don't think we've seen enough of in our community. And I just can't wait to see the shareable files, the Wing It files, the very creative pieces that are created with Wing It, and just what incredible people. I am not an artist.
Me neither.
I love playing Pictionary with folks that come by to see Wing It, but I'm terrible at it. And I've seen so many great artists actually touch Wing It that have just done phenomenal things that I couldn't even begin to fathom how this app's going to be used.
And you touched earlier on, you know, people being able to write their name and use it for their signature. I mean, I think that's interesting in itself, because if you're born blind and you're used to being brought up using Braille, you don't tend to think about the print side of things, because you can't see it, and therefore you can't. Some people do learn to write their signature. I've written my signature. I kind of have a signature because I know where the pen is supposed to go, but it's where it's supposed to go and where it sometimes ends up might be two different things. But you could practice and practice and practice that using Monarch with Wing It, just writing with your finger or a pen, and being able to just get an idea of the print letters. Remember these plastic stencils that you used to be able to buy, that had an outline of capital letters and small letters. But you can actually do this for real, and do it in real time. So, you know, as you say, there are so many uses for this.
A group of Japanese ladies definitely were like, you can draw kanji with this and you can draw the characters. She said, we really had no tactile way to do this. This was in a conference, just again, another use case. And a gentleman posted online about karate katas, so learning how to do his karate moves with sketches from Wing It. So all of these things are just, I smile every time I do. And I bring it back to the team. Everything that we're hearing, it's definitely encouragement to see where we move forward with Wing It. And we want to hear really what the community wants. And I've appreciated, I think, the overwhelming kind of support, because sometimes it doesn't always go that way. And you hope for the best, and the community might not love exactly what you're doing. And we know we have more work to do with Wing It, but I think where we are, the response from the community has been incredible.
It certainly is. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to come to talk to us today on Tech Talk, all the way from California, where you are at the moment, I believe. So, I just want to say thank you so much. And we wish you all the very best with Monarch in the future, and with Wing It, of course. And we look forward to more updates and, you know, what else is going to develop. I just can't wait, to be honest. Thank you.
I can't wait to tell you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, following our chat with the developer of Land of Livia here on Tech Talk, I thought this time I will give you a little walkthrough of this particular game, which is available on a few operating systems, but we will look at the iPhone version of the game. Now, the main part to mention, as Aaron mentioned in our interview, that it is an incremental adventure game, which uses what's called idle gaming. Now, what this means is you get certain tasks to carry on while you close the game. So you play the game in short bursts. Now, why am I mentioning this again? Well, because I will demonstrate some elements of the gameplay, but a lot of them involve starting quests and then going away and then starting another quest when you come back. So we'll give you a little walkthrough of what you can expect, but the gameplay itself, I'll show you how to start a quest, But that's about as much of the gameplay as we'll be able to realistically demonstrate.
Opening Land of Livia. Land of Livia. Split Atom Labs. Current location. Quest completed.
So there we go, that's the game. I'm going to just turn this down a little bit. So it's in the background, so we've got lovely music. I possibly might be able to turn it off in settings somewhere. I've not seen that, but let's see what we've got so far.
Close. Button. Cook-a-dish. Rewards. 47. Bonus gold. 16.
So I've won some gold.
Reward. Cook-a-dish. Close. Button. Close. Current location. Town. Stern shipping outpost. Button.
So the part of the game I am at is there's a particular item I need to purchase, and I need to collect a lot of gold to do so. I'm not going to tell you which item it is because I don't want to spoil the game too much. Mind you, I'll probably issue a small spoiler alert in case you are playing this game and there's certain bits you don't want to see. I will say you might see some things that you haven't gotten to yet, so if you don't want to see them, you may want to fast forward this demo. However, if you haven't, then listen on. So, we are in the map screen, where you can see the current location and other locations you have unlocked. Let me show you the entire screen, shall we, from the top.
Gold 600 of 600, heading.
So I've got 600 gold, my gold capacity is full, so I'll have to go and upgrade it.
Settings, button, strength level 4.
And my stats?
Dexterity level 1, intelligence level 2, map navigation, button, help, button. Current location, town, stern shipping outpost, button.
So this is my current location, but I'll also be able to see other locations.
Northern beach, button. Terek grasslands, button. Town, Terek, button.
These are locations that are already unlocked that I have been to for one reason or another.
Town, tour, button. Solomon's farm, button.
This is the first location you start with in the game.
Shaman's hut, button. Cliff lookout, button. Smuggler's Cove, button, selected, map, tab, 1 of 5.
So then you're on to tabs. So map is the first tab, and one probably you'll be using quite a lot when it comes to the game, because that's where you need to travel to different locations and do quests and various things.
Hero, tab, 2 of 5.
Then there's your hero, let me show you what you got there.
Items 15 of 27, heading, selected, hero, button, 1 of 4. Real estate, button, 2 of 4.
So hero, I'll show you what that does before we look at real estate.
Companions, button, 3 of 4. Progress, button, 4 of 4. Lucius Cornelius 2. Sell junk, button. Auto equip, button. Sell junk, button. Sell junk, alert, confirm. Are you sure you want to sell all common and uncommon items that do not have any highest stat for their slot? Button.
So this is where you can get rid of some of your old equipment that you maybe don't need because you've collected better versions.
Sell, button.
I need to expand my gold, so at the moment I'm not going to sell it.
Items selected. Real estate. Button. 2 of 4. Companion. Program. Lucia. Sell junk. Auto equip. Button. Weapon slot. Paladin's bronze sword. Level. Head slot. Bronze helm. Level 3. Button.
So this is where you go through every part of your player's body that has something equipped. So, you know, hand equipment, legs, that sort of parts. And you can see what equipment there is and change it if you need to. But the good thing is, as Aaron mentioned in our interview, this game allows you to kind of equip the best items for each quest, which is quite handy. Let me show you what the real estate is.
Or sell, Lucy, program, companion, real estate, selected, real, compact, progress, button, for, abandoned shack, level 1, real estate, increases max gold, can upgrade, button.
So that's my real estate, I can increase and get more gold that way.
Small chest, max level real estate, increases max gold, button.
So that says max level real estate, that's because I cannot upgrade it anymore.
Map, tab, small, abandoned shack, level 1, max gold, 200 increased to 400.
So let me upgrade this.
Gold cost, 300. Upgrade, button. Upgrade, dimmed.
So I've upgraded my real estate now.
Map, tab, upgrade, dimmed. Gold cost, 450. Insufficient available.
So the next gold upgrade will cost me 450 gold to make my capacity bigger.
Max gold, 400 increased to 600. An abandoned shack just leveled. Abandoned shack, gold 300 of 800. Back button.
And as you've heard there, my gold can maximum reach out to 800, so that capacity has increased. And until I get more gold, I can't really do much else with that particular part. So we're going to, in a minute, start a task that will get us a bit more gold, and I'll show you how to do that. But let me show you the other tabs on the screen.
Crafting, journal, craft, selected, crafting, selected, crafting, tab, 3 of 5.
crafting, very self-explanatory. You will gather certain items that can be used to craft things, and this is where it all happens.
Gems, button, lore, button, 2 of 3 items, button, 3 of 4, no gems. Step 1, complete quest to find rare gems. Upgrade them to heart ears to increase their potency. Constitution, wisdom, and charisma of your hero. Selected, lore, 2 of 4 items, button, 3 of 3.
Let me show you what this is.
Heading, lore fragment, tier 1 lore item, 2 available, button. Map, tab, 1 of 4, lore fragment, tier 1, land of Livia, lore fragment, tier 1 lore item, 2 available. Tree of a legend to have a 5%, this lore item can be used on a lock journal entry of a legend to have a 5% chance of unlocking it. Lore excerpts, 0 increase to 1. Lore fragment cost, 3. Insof, upgrade, dimmed, button, map, tab, 1 of 5.
Not quite sure what this part does particularly.
Items, button, selected, items, no legendary items. Step 1, listen. Step 1, listen for rumors at Insta, learn about legends. Step 2, use lore items to unlock clues of the item's final resting place. Step 3, use your wits to deduce the location and find the item. Step 4, upgrade it with enchanted items as you progress. Map, tab, 1 of 5.
So there you go, you've got a few little mini games there that you can play.
Hero, select, journal, tab, 4 of 5.
Now this is the important part because that is where the whole story is found.
Current chapter, current chapters, heading. Prelude, The Sorceress and the Sea. Grow your character through exploration and questing from a modest farmhand into a worldly adventurer. Venture across land and sea to uncover the beginnings of a dark conspiracy afoot in the land of Livia. Button. Heading. Upcoming chapters, heading. Chapter 1, A Land Divided. Travel north to Herophia, Thardric City and of course the free city of Farhaven, but don't let the veneer of civilization fool you, the north is as wild as ever. Explore more locations, solve more legends, and immerse yourself deeper in the epic narrative to uncover the truth. Chapter 2, The First Tribe. Go to the southern tip of Livia by ship and gain the trust of the Korish tribe so that you can reach the mountains deep within the Korish heartlands. Explore multiple islands, battle slavers, uncover forgotten legends, and discover the true history of the First Tribe. Chapter 3, The Veiled Frontier. Travel beyond the veil to a new frontier, escape a hidden city, explore uncharted lands, help excavate a path through a mountain in search of a fertile place to settle, and even venture underwater. All this to finally unmask the dark conspiracy at play in the land of Livia. Finale, Rise of the Urukin. Livia is on the brink of war once more. It is time to lean on the friends you have made and the knowledge you have gained throughout your travels. Only the most astute adventurers will have a chance to best this challenging and epic chapter. Map, tab, 1 of 5.
So that's where the story part happens. You do various chapters and then you go through the whole story to find out what exactly has happened at the mystery land of Livia.
Campfire, 99 plus, tab, 5 of 5.
Campfire, now this is the community chat function. This is where you can chat to other players if you want a more social experience of the game as well. You can chat to players, ask questions, have casual conversations or ask for help in the game. You can do all of that. So before we go, I want to show you quickly how to start a little quest and how that works. And then I'll leave you to play along with the game yourself.
Crafting, hero, map, tab, 1 of 5. Selected, map, tab, 1 of 5.
Let's go to the map.
Tarot Grasslands, Northern Beach, current location, town, Stern Shipping Outpost, button.
So current location?
Land of Livia, Stern Shipping at close, but the Stern Shipping Company is the largest enterprise in the land of Livia. Many aspire to the success of the Stern family and in particular its heir Louis Stern. In his lifetime he has dramatically expanded the empire including the creation of this shipping outpost along an otherwise dangerous stretch of coast. Stern Cafeteria, button.
So I'm going to go there.
Activities, heading. Listen, Stern Cafeteria, listen for rumors, heading.
So that you've got activities here.
Success chance, 70%. Gold cost, 45. 15 minutes duration.
So each task takes a certain amount of time?
Inns are a great place to find out information and rumors about the land of Livia. Simply wait around, listen, and have a few drinks and you are sure to overhear something of interest.
Yes, that's often quite a good way of working out what you need to do in the story.
Listen, button.
So if I tap listen, I'd then close the game for 15 minutes and I'd get a notification when the task is complete and come back into it and start the next one.
Quests, heading, Cookadish, heading. Success chance, 100%, 59 minutes duration. Gold reward, 47. Inns are often in search of visiting travelers to cook up foreign cuisines. You should be able to earn a decent amount of gold without spending too much time. Attempt, button, clean the floors, heading, attempt, button.
I've done this one before a few times.
Clean the floors. Success chance, 100%, 3 hours 59 minutes duration. Clean the floors, heading.
That's the next task.
Success chance, 100%, 3 hours 59 minutes duration.
Much longer.
Gold reward, 180.
But plenty of gold.
The unsung heroes of inns are almost certainly the cleaners. Busy establishments will often need to be cleaned several times in a single night. You should be able to earn some gold by spending a moderate amount of time. Attempt. Button. Tend the bar. Heading. Success chance. 100%. 7 hours 59 minutes duration. Gold reward. 342. Bartending is a very demanding job. Shifts often last all night and it is not as though the patrons get easier to deal with as time goes on. You won't. Attempt. Button. Attempt. Button. Attempt. Button. Bartending is a very... Attempt. Button.
So these are all the tasks. I'm going to start one of these quests before we leave you.
But gold 7 success tend the bar attempt button the unsung heroes of gold reward 3 hours 5 success clean the floor attempt but inns are often in search gold reward 47 inns are attempt clean the floors heading
let's do some cleaning
success 3 hours gold reward 180
that should get me a nice amount of gold towards what I need to purchase
the unsung heroes attempt button land of Livia current location town stern shipping out
and there we go that task is now being done. And I can now close the game.
Land of Livia. Close Land of Livia.
And just like that, now I will lock the phone.
Music. Active. 1532. Screen locked.
And I will wait for the notification for when the task is complete before I go back into it and start another task. But yes, that is very simply Land of Livia. I didn't show you exactly what the story is in the journal section because I want you to be able to find the story for yourself and listen to it. So I kind of did a walkthrough of the other more general parts of the app because I want you to find out for yourself what exactly the story is and what the preface of the game is. But very accessible. Everything's very easily ordered and explained. So I hope you do find it quite an easy play experience. And if you've got any questions, do let us know. But that is a short walkthrough and explanation of the game Land of Livia here on RNIB Tech Talk.
That's it from us this week. Thank you, as always, for tuning in and being with us. If you've got any questions or any comments or anything you want to share with us, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But from me, Callum Stoneman, Natalie Curran, Jackie Brown, and Hubert Pavalkovich, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.